Hello and welcome everyone. My name is Sean.
I'm Mike.
And this is the Dragon Thistle Rugby Pod. Oh, brand new intro, class. Loving it. Try something new. Laughing my head off. Yeah, well, anyway, welcome back to the pod. We've had a few weeks off. And yeah, it's been nice. It's great to have the season back. It's going to be up and running this Friday. And do you know what? Do you know what I haven't done? Straight away, didn't even write down the fixtures for this weekend. Well done, Sean. We're a rugby pod. Season starts this week.
One of them's easy because it's Edinburgh Scarlet. So I remember that one.
Yeah, and I know Glasgow, Ospreys Ulster. Are playing the Dragons.
Ulster, Glasgow.
Yeah, I think Cardiff are playing Friday night. Yeah, we'll find him. We'll find him before the end of the pod. So, yeah, we're back. The new United Rugby Championship, or as we're going to call it, we're just going to call it the URC. It's just going to be easier to call it the URC, isn't it? Yeah, we're back. So we've decided as our first podcast back, we're going to do sort of like a mini review of the URC. We've decided to do kind of mini reviews on all the teams. Just Scottish and Welsh teams, yeah, obviously. I text Mike with a few ideas. So what we've gone for is we're going to pick our best signing for each team, player to watch, and obviously we'll have a little chat about each team, what we think they might do during the season. We've also predicted our top eight for the season. We're going to pick the Shield winners because I think they're not really called conferences, they're called Shields. So the Shield winners. And we're also going to do some early predictions for the Autumn Internationals, the Amazon Cup, whatever you want to call it. And then we're also going to do our early predictions for the Six Nations and see how they... If we do it now, it's there, isn't it? It's there. We can either gloat or we can cry. Let's get into it. So obviously, the United Rugby Championship, like you said, the URC is starting on Friday night. I think there's three games on Friday, right?
Yeah, three. Yeah.
Obviously, I mean to start off,
Zebraville Lions, Cardiff versus Connacht, and Ulster Glasgow.
That's it. Yeah. So the big game's obviously Cardiff versus Connacht. it's been rebranded from the Pro 14, which they need to get away from. Pro 14 was kind of dying on its ass. It's gone from that. And in fairness, the marketing, since I've announced it, has been brilliant. I said we weren't going to talk about it before we came on there, but you've had this World 12s that's been announced. And they turned up. Their sort of promotion was the old England Rugby Union director, and Richie sat there with a ball that just said World 12s. And you compare it to sort of the promotion for the URC, which I think, to be fair to them, they've done a really good job with.
Yeah.
But obviously, it's the Pro 14 re-fucking done, isn't it? And it's still got that theme. The fixtures came out late. People were asking for fixtures. It was taking a long time to get out. The fixtures did come out, and people still weren't happy. And over in Scotland, Glasgow fans were upset because majority of their home games have been changed from Friday nights to Saturday afternoons.
Yeah.
And they were saying, obviously, that it clashes with football and obviously people who are playing rugby in their own clubs. So they were unhappy. Fair enough, obviously, it's one of the things. I mean, there's been complaints from Welsh regions. I think it's Cardiff versus Dragons, which is the local derby down there. Is on a week before the Wales play New Zealand. No internationals. And, you know, they're trying to promote that, you know, they can have more internationals playing all the time. And then they kind of drop in fixtures like this. You know, for a local derby, you want to have, you know, if you want to promote your league, and you want to get other people watching, they want to be able to watch local derbies with the best players on the field.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, and I think, you know, the way they promoted it as well is, you know, listen, we're not going to play as much during international windows. You know, we are going to see more stars playing. You know, is that going to happen? It's a wait and see sort of thing. I get Glasgow being upset because obviously if there's going to be a drop in attendance or people watching the game live, you don't want that. Obviously, I don't know what's happened there because I'm pretty sure Glasgow would have had some say about where they're playing the fixtures, but it is disappointing. I think, you know, if you could, you know, the same again, if you're trying to promote the league, you want to get more people watching the games, especially in the stadiums after COVID. You want them to play, you want them to watch them at sort of their peak times, wouldn't you?
Well, 100%. Yeah. I mean, I love a bit of Friday night rugby as well. So
yeah.
I'm gutted that's the case. But, and yeah, I think Glasgow fans have definitely vented their frustration. But like you say, I would have thought Glasgow would have put like something in to say, like, you know, we want a lot more home games on a Friday. But
I read something on Twitter, and it's a journalist, so it's not just some random. And he was saying, you know, obviously Glasgow fans vented. And he said, the thing to remember though is you vented at the wrong people. He said, Glasgow would have had a say. I think one thing that has hindered him is that Scrum 5 is back. You know, they've got rugby back on BBC Wales. So that is a Friday night slot taken. But like BBC, is it Alba?
Yeah.
Is that the right one in Scotland?
Yeah.
They don't seem to have any games, which is really disappointing. I don't know who's in charge of that, but I think that's disappointing. You could quite easily put a game on BBC Alba and a game on BBC Wales on a Friday night at the same time. And, you know, Scottish fans watch one, Welsh fans watch the other. But who are we? But yeah, I've tried to get the negatives out because at the end of the day, I think we need to start positively. There was a lot of sort of, I mean, you had the Lions, which end up being a shocking advert for rugby, in all fairness. You've had the Rugby Championship that's been going on, which, in fairness, has been it's been highly entertaining. And you had the start of the Premiership last week, which was pretty good, to be fair. We need to start the season off with some positivity, and hopefully they are going to change stuff up. Hopefully you're going to see more internationals. I think me and you are on the same thing though. It's like, it's great. We want to see more internationals playing, make the games better, make them more competitive, make the league more competitive. But then me and you, the thing, we like to see youngsters getting a go, don't we? We like to see new players coming in and getting opportunities as well. So it's getting that mix, isn't it?
Yeah, I still think they will. I mean, they do try, especially, I mean, I think the Welsh teams are very similar to the Scottish teams. They do look after the players quite well from what you've seen in terms of game management and stuff like that and how long they're getting. And they do tend to rest them as and when they can, and which means that the youngsters coming through do get quite a bit of game time.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just think that sometimes, I think sometimes, I don't want to say they get rested too much because at the end of the day, you know, they do play a lot of games, but then sometimes you want to see them on, for the league to be successful. You need your Josh Adamses, you need your, you know, a lot of the Irish boys playing, you need your Scottish internationals playing. I get that they need the rest as well, but, you know, if you want to really promote a league, you see in the Premiership, you know, Hoggy's playing every week, isn't he? Dan Biggar's playing every week.
Yeah.
As examples, England internationals are playing most weeks. So I do like that, you know, in Wales, they can look after him, and that's one of the reasons why Welsh players come back. But yeah, if you're going to promote the league, you need to promote it with its biggest stars, let's say. So we'll swiftly move into then our sort of, I've wrote down team reviews, but we're not going to go through every signing or every player who's left because we've pretty much done that on all the pods previously. If you haven't listened to them, go listen to them. But obviously, yeah, we've got a review obviously for all the four regions and the Scottish regions. So we'll start with the Scottish regions. Regions, clubs, not regions, are they? The clubs. So, yeah, I think the format is we're going to do a little bit of review, what we think might happen. And then we'll pick, or Mike's going to pick his best signing and his player to watch.
Right, yeah. So I suppose I'll start with Edinburgh, purely because obviously now it's going to be the Mike Blair effect, new coaching.
There's a lot going on, right?
Pardon?
There's a lot going on, isn't it?
Yeah, obviously Cocker's, I do think he's put some very, very good foundations on. You hear like the odd rumour now that, like, oh, not rumour, but like things that he never really, you know, he didn't have like a leadership group and, you know, he's very much didn't really let the players think for themselves and stuff like that. So, like, he's gone out. Obviously, Mike Blair will know a lot of the players very well from being in the Scotland South. And it's a big opportunity. And they are probably grooming someone like Mike Blair as maybe a future successor to Townsend, or maybe the one after Townsend, kind of thing. The one after the one after Townsend, even. So, a bit, I think he's going to, like, probably try and go down the old kind of Gregor Townsend mould of how they want to play. So, fairly attacking rugby. I do think that Edinburgh have got very, very good foundations that Cockers has built, particularly with their forward pack. I know they've lost their like Rory Sutherland in the pack, but he didn't actually start that much for Edinburgh. You know, Pierce Schumann does tend to be the loose head that starts that side. You know, and pack wise, they've got a really good pack. You know, the back row they've got of Richie Watson and Vil Mata is as good a back row as you're going to see. You know, they've got a good front row, Schumann, McAnally and VP Nell, if they go with him. And then a second row of people like Toulis and Grant Gilchrist, you know, very, very professional, very, very, very good players. So pack-wise, I think like they've got the perfect foundation. And now you're just hoping that like Mike Blair can come in and sprinkle a little bit of stardust on the backs and get them playing. And if you can get the backs, you know, to have a bit of excitement in them, you know, although they're without Doohan, then I think they've got a very, very good chance of competing. I don't think they're going to be like top four, but I do think, you know, they'll be very competitive and pushing teams really, really hard. So I'm really, really excited to see him play, actually, especially if he does open them up a little bit and doesn't just kind of play the Cocker's way. You know, I'd like to see like a Chamberlain play at 10 with the shackles off. You know, very much when he came into the Edinburgh team, everyone was more looking forward to seeing him over Thompson from Glasgow. But Thompson's definitely had the better season of first season of senior rugby. I'd like to see what Chamberlain does under a different coach. But yeah, really, really looking forward to it. Shall I go straight to Glasgow? Or do you want me to do my best signing Edinburgh? And
yeah. I mean, I was just going to say, like Mike Blair he's going down the Townsend route. Townsend was a coach at Scotland, then went to Glasgow, didn't he?
Yeah.
And sort of put his marker down, and then ended up coaching Scotland. So I think you're right
similar,
there.
Similar blueprint, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, and I don't think it's a bad blueprint. I mean, at the end of the day, Scotland play a nice brand of rugby at the moment, and yeah, you know, that largely could be down to Mike Blair, which is good to see. I mean, under Cockerell, yeah, they did really well. I think last season was a bit of a sour note, maybe. Like you say, I think there was a few grumblings inside the club, wasn't there?
I mean,
like, you make a good point about Sutherland, great player, but didn't play that much last season. He's a huge miss, obviously. And obviously, Schumann's jumped in there, but the potential he'll be with the Scotland team now. Doohan's a huge miss. Another miss and another surprise is they let Aroni Sal go, didn't they?
Yeah, it surprised me. I think obviously they were trying to get some wages off the books, and I think they're going to back the youth a little bit more by the sound.
Yeah. So I mean, there's two strike weapons down, but. So Blair Kinghorn's a good player, and obviously he might take more of a leadership role in the team though. So Edinburgh's a tough one though, because I mean, like, with a new coach, you just don't know what they're going to be like, do you? You don't know, you know.
But you can see the players.
You'd
like to think, because I do think they have very good foundations, because their forwards are very good. Like, it's a very good forward pack. So there's, you know, if they can get the backs just firing a little bit, you know, and the forwards, let's say, we'll get parity with most teams, I think, at least in the Pro 14, if not, you know, some of them they should dominate. Then you'd like to think be able to open them up a bit.
Yeah, the two Argentinian players they've signed is good. I'm sorry if I'm jumping the gun and I've stole your thunder.
Yeah,
the two players.
I'll say my best signing. I've gone for Buffelli. I do think, like, considering with Doohan particularly going, you know, I think a bit of the I think bringing in a little bit of stardust like him is going to be like, wow, it's just really, really good to see. That they actually, I thought, when he went, I was like, how are we going to replace him? Are we just going to, you know, rely on the youth coming through? So see him, you get him, and they got,
can't remember. Mayor, was it?
Yeah, the 10, you know, another good player as well. You know, both Argentinian internationals. But for me, like, I think he's going to be the best signing. Certainly, you know, he's one of the ones, he has got a bit of stardust about him. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes.
In terms and your of players to watch?
Players, so I've got four written down.
See, I've done the same.
Right, so I can kind of expect. So in terms of like players to watch, so the two young guys, I've gone for Jack Blaine. I thought he had a good season anyway. And I like to see him kick on now and really develop. And the other one I mentioned him before is Chamberlain. So I think Chamberlain obviously played second fiddle to Jacko van der Vaart, and then quite a few times they brought King on and played at 10. And I just think it's because Cocker's didn't trust Chamberlain, because Chamberlain isn't a kicking 10 really. He is more of a running 10, and obviously that's not how Cocker's wanted to play. So I think now with like Blair coming in, I think the shackles will kind of come off, and you might see Chamberlain like taking the ball to the line a little bit more, and you know, and try and create things and stuff like that. So that's why I've got them two of my players, what's my young players, and then the other two are kind of. I put Lang in because I want to see how he does. I'm not his biggest fan, but now he's gone to Edinburgh, you know, I'm interested to see, like, a little bit to see how good he is, because obviously having played in the Premiership, I want to see how the difference in the Premiership to the Pro 14, I want to see, or not Pro 14 now, whatever it's called, but I want to see if like a player that's done okay in the he played for Harlequins who won the league, but you know, if he comes in and, you know, hits the ground running, and he might be able to like light up the league maybe. And then the other guy's Vellacott as well, scrum half. Because I think he's someone, I think he's a good player if he stays injury free, coming from Wasps. And it's just, I want to see if he's a player to watch. I just want to see if he gets picked in the Scotland squad. And, you know, if he starts the first few games for Edinburgh, plays well, see if he gets picked for Scotland, really.
All right, yeah. So we went for player to watch, and we got seven.
And I got four.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, Glasgow.
So Glasgow's a funny one for me. So I think like everyone kind of like they've last year, they've always been one of the teams very, very good when they get the ball to their backs and they can open teams up. A bit of a soft underbelly with the forwards. I think like how they finished the season was like really, really good when they had that. Was it Rainbow Cup, was it called?
Yeah.
You know, they went quite well on that. They got turned over by Benetton in the first game, like absolutely mullered by them, and then won all their games after that and did, you know, played really, really well. Certainly seemed to front up a lot more in defence, and their backs, you know, were getting hands on the ball, and they looked like a really good team. In terms of, like, their recruitment and things like that, I think they've recruited really well. In particular, the what's his face, Jack Dempsey. Well, I'm going to go to players to watch here now straight away. Best signing. Sorry, so I've gone for two. Sorry, so I've got Jack Dempsey and Josh Mackay. So Jack Dempsey's a former Australian international. Would probably still be in and around the squad if he hadn't had all the injuries that he's had. If they can get him fit, I think he can cause some serious damage as a ball carrier in the back row, and certainly will add some grunt and a bit of a much firmer underbelly to the pack. And then Josh Mackay, a New Zealander, who I think is Scots qualified, in the back. So I think he plays wing and fullback. But from the videos I've seen him, he looks like he could light up a game if he gets
rapid.
He's absolutely rapid. Yeah. So they're my two like best signings going into that. But just speak a little bit more about Glasgow. I mean, for them, a bit of the opposite of Edinburgh, because I said about Edinburgh got these like the forwards. If Glasgow's forwards get parity in games, then their backs can unleash. You know, they're so quick. Like you've got Ross Thompson there playing at 10. Had a very, very good debut season. You got Donkey Weir's back in the fold. Obviously, a bit more of a conservative 10 when he plays, but still, you know, still a very, very good player. And then I'm excited to see Miotti as well at 10. I'm hoping he doesn't play too much. He's a very good player, a very, very good player. But I would like to see Ross Thompson get given like the shirt to start with and get him playing and get him in and around the Scotland squad as well. If he continues to kick on from how he was last season, you know, he's got a really, really good future ahead of him. But I can see Glasgow going well again. I always think they struggle a little bit in the front row. But with Xander Fagerson, Ollie Kebble, and then in the hooker, you got Fraser Brown, Grant Stewart, George Turner, etc. Then hopefully they can front up in the forwards and be competitive. And the backs, I do think the backs are gleaming. There's a few losses, like obviously Hugh Jones is gone, Nakarau is gone, Adam Hastings is gone, who's a big loss, but I still think they've recruited pretty well in the players they've got in. So I do think they'll be a decent force. I think they'll be similar to Edinburgh. I don't think they'll be top four, but they'll be not far off that from what I'm thinking.
Yeah, so I think Glasgow have probably made some of the best signings actually in the league. Josh Mackay, I've watched quite a bit of Super Rugby, and he obviously, I think it's the NPC when it was on Sky, used to watch a lot of that. And he's played for Canterbury at the end of the day, who were a very good team. I think he's an exciting player. Jack Dempsey, yeah. The good thing about Jack Dempsey, he'll be with you all season. It's a big thing when you're signing sort of foreign imports and stuff. Who's the other Argentinian? Is it Cancelier? He's a good player as well.
He's a prop.
No, he's a winger, isn't he?
Winger, is he?
Yeah. There's the other Argentinian this time. So I like Glasgow. The thing with Glasgow is I think Danny Wilson came in, and obviously he didn't have the greatest of first seasons, but it wasn't an easy first season for anyone, really, was it?
No.
And I think for him now, you know, we spoke about, you know, many times, I know, before about, you know, where's the money to spend? Where are these players? It looks like he's got his wish now. He's managed to recruit pretty well. Like you say, you've got, there's three tens there now.
Getting Nakarau off the books will have freed up a lot of money.
Huge. I think it was huge, and it's nobody against Nakarau. He's a great player on his day, but on his day, you know, when he's fit. And I think if you look at it now, Ulster did really well out of it, didn't they? They signed him, mugged him off straight away, and managed to sign Dwayne Vermeulen. So that wasn't too bad. Yeah, Nakarau would have been massive on the wages, wouldn't he? So
yeah. He's gone to Toulon now, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's got the Toulon, yeah. So I think Glasgow can do well, you know. I mean, it comes down to, you know, it's the time where the internationals aren't there, are they? And I think what Glasgow have done is they've built out that squad with players who will be around a lot.
Yeah.
And that's not being horrible. I think that's what you need. You know, if you look at, like, teams who compete well in the URC, we're going to call it URC, not Pro 14. In previous years, look at Connaughts and Ulsters and teams like that. They've got good players, but they don't lose a lot. And the sort of international players or the foreign players they recruit are there all the time. And it makes a huge, huge difference. So, yeah, I think Glasgow will be better than Edinburgh this year, I'm going to say.
Okay.
I think if
they're forwards front up, yes.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to talk about these teams as if they're full. You know, if both teams are full steam, hell of a game. Yeah. Hell of a game if both teams are full steam, like. But I think what Glasgow are doing, they've started to build a squad now.
Yeah, agreed.
We've got a good few youngsters. Obviously, Ross Thompson stood out. Rufus McLean.
So I've got players to watch.
Oh, sorry. Go on. Sorry. Yeah. So, I've interrupted. Go on.
So I've gone with Jamie Doby again. It's more the hope, I think, that he can step into that role. I mean, Ali Price probably just had like the best 3 months or 2 months of rugby of his life in the Lions. You know, he really like picked up, and he was very, very good in the Lions tour. So, but he's going to miss the start of the season because I follow him on Instagram. He's been in Greece for like 4 weeks. His missus is well as well, to be fair. So I don't blame him. He's just like generally looks like he's just living his best life at the moment. So he's going to be a few weeks away from playing. And when he does come back, he's obviously going to go in the Scotland squad. So George Horn needs to kick on a bit, but I'd like to think Jamie Doby this season can maybe start really coming in and getting a lot of game time at nine. Rufus McLean, I say I had him down. Obviously, he was very, very good last season anyway, but I think you need to like step up now and nail down like a starting shirt for Glasgow and try and get in and around the Scotland squad. Gone for Rory Darge as well. He came in from Edinburgh to Glasgow towards the end of the season, and he was unbelievable in the Rainbow Cup. How he wasn't getting a game at Edinburgh is beyond me. Well, it's not. I suppose you got Hamish Watson and Jamie Ritchie, but to be fair, he came in and looked absolutely brilliant. So I'd like to see him pushing towards the Scotland squad as well. And the last one I've gone to, I think we've all forgot about him a little bit because he came in and everyone made a big deal about it. But Tuipulotu, I think that's how you say his name. Obviously, Scots qualified. Came from, I can't remember what the Japanese team was, but still a few things unknown about him. He was going to play in the Scotland A game against England A, I think. He was in that squad anyway, so it would have been good to see what he could do. But he's Scots qualified. Coming in, looks like a ball carrier. Looks like he can do some damage at centre. So it'd be interesting to see how he goes. So I've got him down as a player to watch as well.
Yeah, I forgot about him.
I'd forgot about him until I started doing a bit of research this week.
His highlight reel in Japan is banging.
Mm. Yeah, you wouldn't want to tackle him, would you?
No, he looks like a bit of a unit, doesn't he? Yeah. So. Yeah, good. Yeah, I think Glasgow will do pretty well this year. I'm predicting that. Edinburgh, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Like you say, it's an unknown, isn't it, with having a new coach? Well, they'll go, and how quickly they'll be able to jump into the way he wants to play. Like, yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. So we'll go into the regions. And I've decided I'm going to start with the Dragons. Just because my opinion with the Dragons, you know, all you hear is potential. I think this is the year that needs to stop. It can't just be they've got lots of promise. They've signed this, they've signed that. It's actually a year that they've got to start winning games, playing well, being more consistent. You know, it's tough for them, but they do have a lot of talent. They do have a lot of young players, but they've also got a lot of, you know, good senior players there as well. So for me, they need to. It's massively about kicking on. They've, you know, recruited pretty well. Obviously, I'll go into that in a little bit. But if you look at, you know, some of the depth in the squad, the back row alone is good, and I think that's where the Dragons really. It's a bit like you were saying about Glasgow. The Dragons can play some cracking rugby, but up front, you know, they tend to get bullied. You know, I think they've signed two new props. One from Glasgow, wasn't it? Was it Aki Saley?
Yeah.
They've signed a Fijian prop who looks pretty decent. So they have tried to build on that pack, and that's what they need. The back row, the competition in the back row with the Dragons is ridiculous. Tane Basham, Wainwright, Moriarty, Ollie Griffiths, Harrison Keddie, you know, Ben Fry, who's there now, he's a guy to look at. So they've got, you know, a lot of that in the backs. I think that, you know, you know, your Jamie Roberts, you've got a player like Jonah Holmes, who was lethal towards the end of the season. I think in that Rainbow Cup, I think he scored about 7 tries or something.
Really, really good, wasn't he?
Yeah. I think, you know, for the Dragons, it's they need to stop with the whole potential. You know, how long can you just go on about, oh, it's great potential, without actually doing anything? So this year, I think, really big for them. So I'm not sure how well they'll get on. I do think we'll see some decent rugby for them from them though. Yeah, just get a few more wins. I'm not expecting them to fly up the league or anything like that, like, but I do think they can compete with, you know, sort of that, you know, more middle table teams, and maybe cause some upsets as well. You know, out there signings, I think obviously the big one, literally, is Will Rowlands. I think that's huge for him.
Yeah.
You know, 6'8", 6'9", second row international. You know, played really well for Wasps. Probably not, haven't seen all his potential with Wales at the moment, but I think that's huge. As we were talking about, you know, players, you know, their pack being weak. And player to watch, I've gone for a second row again, which is Ben Carter, who got capped in the summer for Wales. I think he was 19, he might be 20 now. Huge potential and an area where Wales, I don't know, not talking about Wales yet, but an area where Wales are, you know, sort of low on numbers at the moment, but it looks like a huge prospect. This year will be massive for him because, like anything else, if you have a pretty decent season, you end up with a target on your back. So, you know, he's less unknown now. I've also gone for another player, which I've spoken about before, is, I always get his name wrong, probably, is Anurin Owen. In the centres, looks like a sort of class player in the making. So those are my players to watch on the Dragons. What's your thoughts on the Dragons?
So like, I'm like you. I think like they show potential, but they, some, like you said, they sometimes get beaten up front a little bit, which then, you know, and then the backs don't get the chance to shine. If they can, very similar to Glasgow, I think if they can. They can front up and match teams physically in the forwards, then the backs have the ability to cut open teams and they can do some damage. I think a little bit like Glasgow, they'll be better in like the summer months than they will in the winter months, because I think that's when they'll struggle, when it's the soft pitches and, you know, it's wet and muddy and things like that, when you're relying a lot more on your forwards and things like that. I think that's when they'll struggle, but. I'm definitely excited to see what they can do this season.
I do you know what, apart from probably the amount of signings, because I know Glasgow made a good few, they are very similar, aren't they? You've hit the nail on the head. Another player to watch, sorry, who's coming back from a lot of injuries, and if he can get back, he's such a good player, is Corey Allen, who signed a deal after being released by the Ospreys. He signed a deal for the Dragons, and he's a very good player in the centres, but just been decimated by injuries. You know, you forget he's actually played in the World Cup for Wales. So Cardiff, not the Blues, Cardiff Rugby. I think, you know, Cardiff's my team, but I think they're going to struggle, which is, I think they're in the same position as Dragons. I think they've got a better team than the Dragons. But I think they're lacking a little bit up front. They did manage to sign Matthew Screech from the Dragons in the second row, who's a good player. He was a cracking club player. He's a good addition. But I think it was huge for them to lose Corey Hill. I think that was a big loss. And to be fair, the similarities are the same. Cardiff's back on any given day can tear anyone to shreds. Some of the backs, are fantastic. Some of the play is brilliant. I think they've got one of the best signings of the season, which I won't get into just yet. But unfortunately, Cardiff have only recruited two players, so they're running on sort of the same team. The only thing is they'll have the injection of LS Jenkins this season, who's finally managed to get a full pre-season in him. There's a good few young players coming through. But I do think they might still struggle a bit up front. And that's not to say they haven't got some good players in the pack. You know, you still got your Dylan Lewis's, who, you know, still needs to learn his trade a bit. You've got players like Reece Carrier, who's got loads of potential but isn't living up to it. I think on the day, Cardiff, if they've got all their players, all their internationals, I know you can say this about any team, but I think with all their internationals, Cardiff can compete with anyone in that league with their internationals. you just got to think in the back line where you can have a Josh Adams, Jared Evans, Thomas Williams, you know, Halaholo, Ray Lilo, Owen Lane, you know, there's loads of so many. Alam Amos, he's another one who just hasn't hit his potential yet. You know, when you're reeling off a back line like that, you're thinking, tasty. But same again, it's all in that forward pack. And be interesting to see Dai Young's finally had a full pre-season, you know, after coming in sort of middle of last season and the whole Dwayne Peel debacle where, you know, he was coming and he wasn't. So yeah, Cardiff, as much as I'd like to, I think they'll entertain during the season, but I'm not sure they'll compete throughout the whole season, which is unfortunate, but I think they'll entertain, but maybe not necessarily do great. And so, obviously, my best signing, they only made two, but I think he's one of the best signings in the whole league, and I know that's quite a big thing, is Reece Priestland.
Yeah.
That's such a good get. You've got, you know, you've got a young player like Jared Evans who can learn off him. If Priestland's not going to be in the Wales squad, because you never know, what a player to bring in. You know, you could even play him at fullback if you needed to. And the things he's done in the Premiership the last few seasons, I think it's a fantastic player to get. Players to watch, I've gone for Ben Thomas, centre come 10. I think he could be absolute class when you think rugby is starting to hopefully go down that role of where you have two playmakers. He could be a fantastic 12, playmaking 12. For Cardiff and Wales. You've obviously got Owen Lane, who I spoke about, guy who's been riddled by injuries. If he can sort of stay fit, I think he's definitely a future long-term Welsh international on the wing or the centre. And then I've gone for a young lad as well, a lad called Mason Grady. I think he's only 18. Played against Leinster last year, was really good, loads of potential. Big unit, rapid, just, yeah, hopefully he gets in there. And the last one, Sam Moore. I keep going on about Sam Moore. It's probably the last time. If he doesn't make it this year, he'll never make it. Bags his potential, but pure, just injury prone. And I know that's horrible to say. If he doesn't make it this year, he won't. But, I truly believe that. There's only so long sort of clubs will get on with it. But, yeah, I think Cardiff are a bit like the Dragons on the day, beat anyone or compete with anyone, but can get bullied up front. And if you get bullied up front, doesn't matter how electric your back line is, can't do anything, can they?
So, I think like the back row is unbelievable.
I haven't really mentioned that, have I? To be fair, I thought it was a bit obvious.
The back row is unbelievable. Like Josh Navidi, they say if you get Ellis Jenkins fit, James Bofin's really good. I quite like Shane Lewis Hughes. I think he's decent.
Yeah, great player.
I think Turnbull's he going to be skipper this year?
Turnbull's skipper this year. He had a blinder last year, didn't he? I had a bit of a whinge of him playing for Wales, but I mean, for Cardiff, he's been immense. You know, he's a fantastic club player.
But I do think like front five wise is like where your weaknesses are. Mm-hmm. I was actually going to say centres, but I didn't really know anything about Ben Thomas or Mason Grady, so I was like, I had a look at the centres, and I was like, I only really know Lilo and Halaholo.
Halaholo,
But then, obviously, you're telling me Mason Grady and Ben Thomas are people that can fill in there. So, that'll fair one there. I do think Reece Priestland is a very, very good signing. Really, really good. I think this season for me, although Reece Priestland's come in, I think it's a massive season for Jared Evans. He's got a lot of talent. He just needs to get more like that, the game management and the consistency there. And if he does, then Wales have got another 10 that's a very, very, very good player. But until he gets that, he's not going to... He might be in and around the Wales squad, but he's not going to push like Dan Bigger or... What's his name from Bristol? I can't remember his name now.
Sheedy.
Yeah, he's not going to push them to. But he's a different option, the way he plays. If he can just get a little bit better... game management, then it'll be interesting to see how it goes. But yeah, Cardiff, I do think they're going to be down the wrong end of the league this season. I don't think they're going to be like bottom or anything like that, but I think they'll I do think they might struggle a little bit.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, the Jared Evans thing is he's got everything in the attack, in the attacking book. He's got the passes, he's got the step, nice little bit of pace on him. And I don't, like you say, I mean, you just said, no one's complaining about that. It's more his game management, isn't it? And control, I think, is more, you know, so. But I think, you know, if you look at it, having someone like Priestland to sort of be there, you know, Priestland's got that experience. He has got good game management. He's also good in attack. You know, what a player to sort of bring off the bench or start, you know. It's, you know, one, you might even see Jared Evans at 12. You never know.
Yeah.
Little crazy one. But yeah, no, I completely agree. I think they'll struggle. And then, so obviously, the last two teams is, you know, I think probably the favourites. So I'll go with the Ospreys. I'm going to straight out say it. I think the Ospreys have the potential to do really well this season. Recruited fantastically. Right up there with sort of Glasgow's recruitment. Brought in a lot of players as well, so that adds pressure. But I think Toby Boo's taken him in the right way. I think he's had a season to sort of get it, the way he wants to play in place. He's obviously been backed by the club with the recruitment massively. They've got a far stronger squad now, and I generally think they can. I won't give it away, but I do think they'll do some really good stuff this season. Even when they're international, I know they'll be hit by internationals, but the way they've recruited is massively bulked up the squad. You know, you still got players, experienced players like Stephen Myler still there. And I know I kind of didn't like the signing, did I, when it came in? I know you said to me, you know, you need players like that. And in fairness, he done a great job, didn't he, when he was there, and kept him on for another year for that experience. You know, they'll have Reece Webb fit and firing from the off, whether he's with Wales or not.
Anscombe, did he play the other week?
He did. Anscombe's back. Just to see him on a rugby pitch, mate, after, what was it, 2 years off?
Yeah.
And, you know, the reports that he might have to retire. That was huge. You know, that's massive. But I think, I just think they've got potential to do really well. I mean, if they had all their internationals, fit and firing, which is a big if. I mean, class forward pack, which they've added to, a back line, which can be lethal if they want to be. Just, I think there's like big potential in the Ospreys. I think it's good though, because I think, you know, remember back to, you know, they called it Australia when they had their Galacticos era, when they, you know, they had Tommy Bowe, Henson, Shane Williams, Marty Holler, Jerry Collins, blah, blah, blah. We all know that. Justin Marshall. And then they've had this lull, but I think there's a bit of excitement with the Ospreys at the moment, which is fantastic. We need that in the Welsh game, you know, especially as, you know, you're trying to get more interest in the regions. And like you say, I think they've signed some fantastic players. So for my best signing, I think the easiest one would to go is Thomas Francis, you know, top class international tight end prop. But I haven't gone for him. I haven't gone because I think it's a bit too obvious. So my best signing is a guy called Michael Collins, signed from, I think it's the Highlanders or the Blues, one of the Super Rugby teams, Welsh qualified, plays 12, 13, full back. And I think he's going to be that glue player. If you watch him in the Super Rugby, I don't think he's an absolute superstar, but I suppose the best way to look at him, he's like a Hadley Parks, just really good at the basics. As a typical New Zealander, heads up rugby, plays some fantastic, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he starts well, he wouldn't be in a Wales squad or to maybe Six Nations. But I think he's a great signing, covers a lot of positions. And I think he might add that glue to the Ospreys. You know, they've got a lot of good potential in the team. But I think it's just about sort of having them sort of great. You know, like you've got your Webbs and your Milers and your Michael Collins. So he's my best signing for the Ospreys. Players to watch, you've already said it. It's got to be Anscombe. It's got to be Anscombe. You know, don't want to put too much pressure on him when he's been back, but he's the sort of player that, you know, if the Ospreys can get him fit and firing, it's you know, literally like having a new player he's never played for him. And, you know, obviously that bodes well for Wales. He might not necessarily fit all his heights for Wales, but I still think he can do a job, especially under sort of the way that Pivac wants to play. It could be perfect for a player like Anscombe and adds to it. And then I've gone for a couple other players. Obviously, Rhys Davies in the second row. Really good player. They got him from Bath, came in, physical. Same again, second row is a position where Wales sort of lacking in numbers. Looks like a really good prospect. It's someone we need to sort of get a lot of game time, and I think he will get a lot of game time at the Ospreys. I haven't gone for my normal because I go on about him a lot, but Jack Morgan signed for the Ospreys. Like you say, I think he's a future Welsh back rower. I've already tipped him for the next Lions tour. I don't really need to talk about him anymore, but unbelievable player. And the last one's Kieran Williams in the centres. Last year was a breakout year for him. He's not massive, but packs a punch, got pace. Looks like a really exciting prospect. So, yeah, I think the Ospreys got potential to do some damage this year and probably be the best region.
Roger. So I'm probably less infused by them. I still think, like you say, I think they've recruited really, like, well and things like that. But I don't know. I still like see like weaknesses in their team. I don't know. I mean, I know you said about like Kieran Williams, but other than that, I don't think the centres are particularly strong.
Owen Watkin.
He's a good player. He's going to be with Wales, though, isn't he? If he goes, but other than that. You know, we take them two out of it then. I don't think there's much else there. You know, when I've seen Michael Collins, but I've only ever really seen him play fullback, so I don't know what he's like at centre, if I'm honest. So, I don't know. I just think, unless George North goes and plays at centre, which obviously is a possibility, but, you know, when's he due back? In your back row, when's Lydiot due back? You know, Tipperick's going to be with Wales. You know, he's going to get protected. He's not going to play loads of rugby, I wouldn't have thought.
Tipperick's injured as well.
Is he injured at the moment? Alwyn Jones, yeah. He ain't going to play a lot of rugby.
So
it's not like, I think, I agree with you. I think like squad-wise is good on paper, but there's some injuries there. There's some people that are going to get protected because they play for Wales. So I'm probably looking at it probably slightly more negative view than you. I'm not convinced. Like, I don't think they'll be the top region for the Welsh regions. But if they're going to play their best 15 every week, then I think they might have a chance. But I just think too many of their players will get.
Well, No team's playing the best team every week, are they?
I know.
Unfortunately, that's the reality, isn't it? You know.
Yeah. I still think like ruin it a little bit, but I think Scarlets will still finish above them.
Well, we'll come to that now, won't we? That's a lovely segue, that, Mike. Taking my job. Yeah, Scarlets, strong squad. They've got the biggest budget in Wales. But I do think they need to improve. They were poor last year.
Yeah.
Didn't seem to be something right at the club. The other thing is, it is an aging squad as well. It's experience goes. You know, hell of a lot of experienced players, but those experienced players, like you said, they're potentially away with Wales. You know, you got Ken Owens, who's 34 now. Fox is 33, not the player he used to be. They've got a lot of improving. I think, you know, it'd be interesting to see a little bit like Mike Blair, how they're going to play under Dwayne Peel. I think Scarlets have always sort of played, you know, tried to play decent rugby, haven't they? They're an entertaining team to watch. I don't think that'll change. If you look how Ulster play, you know, if the Ospreys can sort of play, Ospreys, Scarlets play that, I think they'll do well. I just think, I mean, for the Scarlets, they've still got a good team. They're really light in the second row with Jake Ball going. Obviously, they've lost Jack Morgan in the back row. You know, they've made a couple of good signings as well. In fairness to them, and you know, they've got competition. You've still got your Kieran Hardys. You've still got your Gareth Davises. Your Patchells. But is, you know, how fit's going to be?
Liam Williams, Steph Evans,
Williams,
John Williams, Scott Williams,
Yeah, I mean, they've got bags of potential, but they had a lot of these players last season that didn't perform. So, I don't know. I just there's something about the Ospreys. I think a lot of their recruitments, except take away Thomas Francis, a lot of their recruitment that they've done are going to potentially be around all season, which is, you know, is good. Whereas the Scarlets lose the most amount of players to Wales, I believe. Which is where they might struggle a little bit. I still think they're either second best or they're competing with the Ospreys. You know, those are the two best teams. Those are the two best regions in Welsh rugby at the moment. Best signing quickly. I've gone for Lozano in the back row from Argentina.
Yeah.
Any Argentinian back row is going to give it beans, aren't they?
Yeah.
But he's a pretty, you know, he's a talented player. I think he played in the team that beat New Zealand last year. I think he's a great signing in the back row. Beefs them up a little bit. Can play, can cover all three positions, which is huge as well, which is nice. They've still got Callum Mahoney at number eight, who was probably the best number eight in the league last year.
Yeah, very good.
And that's huge. You need those ball carriers, especially if you've got a back line that Scarlets have. You can unleash some fantastic play. And then the players to watch. I mean, to be honest, you might be convincing me here now, though, to be fair. Players to watch. I've gone for one's Corey Baldwin, who's re-signed from Exeter. Can play on centre or wing. Very, very exciting player. Fantastic that he's actually come back to the Scarlets. Thought he might be lost to England. They were sniffing, but he's come back to the Scarlets, I presume, maybe to look at playing for Wales again. Tom Rogers, who played a couple of games on the wing for Wales in the summer, got a lot of potential. He plays a lot like Liam Williams. If he can become 80-90% of Liam Williams, you've got a good player on your hands. Will Griff-John, be interesting to see if he can push on. For Welsh honours, you know, we spoke about it quite a bit about, you know, how he's, you know, how unfortunate was he missed out on a Welsh cap, but it'd be interesting. Him and competing with someone like Samson Lee in the front row, competition's fantastic. And then I've gone to Scott Williams as well, because I just think that's a bit of a nice story with him going back to the Scarlets after sort of going to the Ospreys and having a nightmare. And if you read his story about his injuries and stuff, it's a bit like Rory Sutherland. You were saying like he had to get help to go to the toilet and stuff. That's where like Scott Williams and stuff has been with his injuries, you know, just and such a good player, just had his career wiped out for, you know, a year and a half with injuries. So I think that could be, and I think that's huge for squad depth for him, because I'm not necessarily a B with the Wales team, but to have a player like that when you haven't got your Jonathan Davis is in the team and stuff is huge. I think they'll be the second best region, but interesting, exciting to see. Like you say, let's hope we get some good weather for the first few weeks of the season. You know, get some good rugby played. Everyone plays the game how it should be played. Obviously, there's new rules, the 50-22, which, you know, people have said will bring in more kicking, but then obviously people are having to defend it, so there's less people on the line. But basically, let's not just see what we saw in the Lions versus South Africa, because it was just awful, wasn't it? Awful.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's our little preview of the teams. We'll quickly run through this because we've been running quite a bit now. Your top eight, and I'll tick them off.
So I've gone with not right, so I'll lose one of them. But
right, I haven't done any order, mate. I've just kind of said what eight there. I haven't done anything. Going to be first, second, third. You can do that if you want.
Mine's in order at the moment, anyway.
Okay. All right, crack on, yeah.
Oh, hang on. I'm just moving to... right. Oh, no, mine's not in order, Nolan.
All right, okay, cool.
So, Leinster, Munster, mm-hmm. Ulster.
That's my first three teams.
Edinburgh, Glasgow, Scarlets.
Okay.
Bulls and Sharks.
Okay. So I've got Leinster...
I was 50-50 on Stormers as well. Like, so, but,
right. So I've gone Leinster, Munster, Ulster, Sharks, Bulls. Same as you. I've gone Connaught because they don't lose anyone, do they? They don't lose anyone. And it's a nightmare to go and play them there. They're a super consistent team. Yeah, that's a bit of a wild. That's not a wild card because, in fairness, they are consistent, aren't they? You know, they don't have superstars. Nightmare to go and play in Galway. Is it Galway?
I don't know.
So I've got Connaught. I've gone Ospreys, and then I've got Glasgow / Stormers. And I'm going to be nice. I'm going to throw Glasgow in. So mine is Leinster, Munster, Ulster, Sharks, Bulls, Connaught, Ospreys, Glasgow. In no order, winning the league, Leinster.
Yeah, I've got Leinster winning the league.
Yeah, I'll just put Leinster in the league. Shield winners. So obviously you are in with the Italian teams. Shield winner.
Edinburgh, Glasgow.
Treviso.
Edinburgh.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Interesting. I'll go Glasgow. I think Glasgow are going to do it. Treviso. At the end of the day, they won the Rainbow Cup Treviso, and they beat the Bulls to do it. Was it the Bulls? I think they
Edinburgh
did to do it.
Pumped them the other week.
In a friendly?
Yeah, like put 50 points on
them. You know they've got what's his name, the defense coach Harlequins Gustard.
Yeah.
He's there, obviously not doing a good enough job if they're getting pumped by 50. So yeah, I'm still going Glasgow. Right down Glasgow. Okay, the interesting one. So we've decided to do autumn predictions and Six Nations predictions.
Have we got to pick your winners, the Welsh regions?
Oh, sorry, Ospreys.
Ospreys. Yeah. So I've gone Ospreys.
Yeah, yeah. So Ospreys all the way. So that is our URC predictions. Won't come true. We're terrible. But yeah, that's what we think. Last two sections before we finish is our autumn predictions. I'll go with Wales because I think it's going to be sour. We are going to win one game just. So we're going to get beaten quite heavily by New Zealand. We're going to be missing, I think it's up to 14 players. Through injury and obviously being based in England. So that's a write-off. I don't think we'd beat New Zealand, by the way, with our first team, but it gets a lot harder. I think we'll be down to our third choice fly-off. What I do want to see from that New Zealand game, though, is Wales have a crack. So, you know, I'm not sure. We won't beat South Africa. Australia, if you look what they've been doing in the Rugby Championship, seems to be improving, playing some good stuff at the moment. And then we play Fiji, and I think we'll win one game just because I don't think Fiji get the same sort of preparation as everyone else does. And it'd be interesting to see what too. I mean, we could quite easily get beat by Fiji as well, if I'm honest. So, three losses, one win, just realistic.
So I've gone for three wins, one loss for Scotland. So I think we got Tonga first. I think we beat Tonga.
Yeah.
We've got Japan last. I think we beat Japan.
Okay.
Then we've got Australia second and South Africa third. Now, I know Australia beat South Africa, but I do think South Africa will improve. I think, knowing my luck, we'll lose to Australia and beat South Africa. But because I'm going to the Australia game, I'm going to say Scotland will beat Australia but lose to South Africa.
All right, okay. For me, the one that Wales target, I think everyone target, would be Australia, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Wales, full noise, I think can beat Australia. And maybe I'm being a little bit down the dumps. You know, I stand by what I said. I, I know we won the Six Nations, but I stand what I said last year when we started. Wales are a team in transition. I'd be more than happy if they used this to, you know, get some more players. Not necessarily that they did the Amazon Cup, but if they get a few players in and stuff like that. Like, so yeah, could we beat Australia? Yeah, fuck it, actually. No, fuck it. We're going to beat Fiji and Australia. Let's be a bit more positive. I said, let's be positive at the start of the season. Lose two, win two. There you go. Okay, Six Nations predictions. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Scotland have got Wales away. So we've got England and France at Murrayfield, Wales, Ireland, Italy.
Yeah, so that's how I've done mine.
I'm going to go for three wins. Three wins again.
Three wins third?
Yeah.
Three wins third. I'm going to be... I need to be positive, don't I? I think Wales fourth or fifth. We got three home games against Scotland, France and Italy, I think. And it's not arrogance, but I think Italy is a given. France are tough. Scotland's a huge game for Wales at home. Huge. Restarting Ireland first. We got Ireland and England away. Records there aren't fantastic. I know I'm being positive, but I think we are also very honest on this podcast, not like others. So yeah. I think two wins, Scotland and Italy. Scotland will be a close one. Scotland, Italy, and I think fourth or fifth, depend on them games. So I don't think it's going to be a great international season for Wales. Team in transition, you know, I just think we've got... I mean, Jerry Guscott put it out. He's got a lot of shit saying Wales will get thrashed by New Zealand. He's not wrong. Yeah. I mean, he says we've got an aging squad. You know, we have got a lot of people in positions who are great players. You can own just... The spine of Wales is quite old, you know, and so I do think we're a team in transition. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I'm being realistic and I'm being honest. Fourth or fifth for Wales.
Cool.
I hope I'm wrong. As long as we beat Scotland when we're at the game, mate.
Yeah, fingers crossed we get tickets.
We'll get tickets, mate. I've already got the account, mate. Sorted account, haven't I?
Happy days.
On top of it. Anyway, right, thanks very much for listening. Hopefully we get all our listeners back. I know we had a few weeks off. We'll advertise it, which we haven't done. Terrible. Cool.
We have to do quickly. I'm going
Oh, Ulster, yeah.
Ulster and I'm going to say Ulster will win because it's in Ulster and Edinburgh wins. So I think Glasgow will lose and Edinburgh will win.
Okay, Cardiff versus Connor. Ooh, I'm going to go Cardiff just because it's home. Ospreys play the Dragons. Ospreys. And who are the Scarlets playing?
Edinburgh.
We're terrible. I go Scarlets. Of course I'm going to go Scarlets. Where is it played? Is it
Edinburgh?
Scarlets. It's at Edinburgh as well. Oh, yeah. Tough game. Two new coaches going up against each other. Interesting game that, isn't it?
Both scrum halves as well.
Yeah, interesting. So
both Lions scrum halves as well.
Both Lions scrum halves, yeah. Dwayne Peel, what a player. Okay, yeah, so I'm going Scarlets, so I'm going Edinburgh. Right. Next week I promise I'll have the fixtures up. We are terrible. We're terrible, aren't we? We're terrible. Right, yeah, okay. So thanks very much for listening. Tell your friends. We are back. And the season's back. Let's be positive about rugby. We're going to be as positive. I know we can be miserable on here, and we love a rant. I know I love a rant. We're going to be positive this year. Let's get some good rugby. Let's get behind the United Rugby Championship. We're going to try and get to some games this season, aren't we? We'll come down and see you.
Yeah.
And we'll try and get to a game, which will be a few games. Thank you very much for listening. Let us know. Obviously, we're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Let us know who you think your players of the season, what you think's the sign of the season, the player to watch. What's the best player being signed between the Scottish and Welsh teams? That's a good question. Let us know. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. And we'll be back next week to hopefully talk about three Welsh wins because there's a Welsh team playing a Welsh team. I don't know. didn't really get that, didn't think that through. So yeah, anyway, thanks very much, and we'll see you next week.
See you later. Boy.
Bye.